It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Tom reckons he's a good swimmer.
My 11-year-old, he does that as a warm-up.
The other fancies himself as a DJ. But what they can do is ask questions.
Your brother has had an exercise fail.
Playing soccer, had a shot on goal, went through and he celebrated. During the celebration, he's fallen over and broken his wrist.
It's been described as juvenile talkback.
How spicy was it?
You've got a 2 teaspoons per cup of water. We put in 2 cups of curry concentrate.
You put about 1,000%.
So it took about 1,000% longer to get over them.
So sit back, but don't relax. This is Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Too much fun. Hey, who's looking forward to tonight? I am. Hands up. What's up? If there was emoji for tonight's show, it'd be the guy with these hand up.
Yeah, me too, Tom. Lots to cover off in this show, and we ask questions as always. Tom swallowed some water before the show. Didn't go down the wrong hole.
No, it did go down the wrong hole.
Yeah, right. Well, cough it out, mate. Up soon, Tom, you want to ask about exchange students. You reckon exchange students, I guess, the very nature of them bring out cultural clashes.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some hilarious stuff. I was thinking about an exchange student that I had when I was in my teens.
And
you know?
My sister as well had one recently. It's quite funny. As well as what happened at the footy. Want to hear about crazy footy stories pretty soon.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I'm the lad of the group, you know.
Jesus Christ.
The macho man, if you will, and I want to hear footy stories. What was the story going around? Apparently a woman, her waters broke at the Richmond game.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Pretty insane.
As well as the guy who dislocated his elbow or shoulder when it came out celebrating. So things go down when you're in the stands at the footy.
Ollie, speaking of exercise and football, I want to talk what got you off your ass now on 133353. I want to ask that question. What got you off your ass? What kicked you into gear?
Okay. What motivated you?
Have
you you been working out, have you?
Of course. All the time. Look at these guns. our mate Jono has had a very interesting thing motivate him. 133353. I'll tell you about it up next. But give us a call. What got you off your ass? Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Mean to me, crowded house. Just watching A Current Affair. Full on stuff.
Don't watch it.
It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Forget we're doing radio. That was full on off air chat.
Come on, Tom. Switch on.
What did the exchange student do? Is going to be up in just a tick. But 133353 right now. What got you off your ass? What's kicked you into gear?
Well, you had a gear kicker in last year, didn't you, Tom? We were in Albury and we started a whole campaign called Get Off the Couch. What was your motivation for getting into gear?
Boredom.
Was that what it was?
Nah. Oh, it was the mental health thing, wasn't it?
That's right. That thing.
It was like, it was because I was feeling a bit low, and then I realized, if I exercise, I actually feel happier.
Mm.
So I decided to get off the couch and literally, have some exercise and get in a good headspace.
Now, your mate John has been doing a similar thing, or what's got him off his ass?
A very interesting one, Ollie. We were speaking about the Apple Watch yesterday.
You've got the new one, Apple 3, is it?
Yeah, Apple Watch Series 3. Of course, I broke it in the first half an hour.
Well, scratched it. It still works.
But at the same time, my mate Johnny did the pre-order and got his Apple Watch as well. Now, we were just texting over it today, like having a bit of a chitty chat, you know, just going, how good's the watch? Yeah, it's so good.
Wow, yeah.
Like giving each other G-ups for like exercise and stuff because we've like got sharing activity on and stuff so we can see the activities of each other.
I'm with you in the room and I'm bored about what you're saying here. So I can't imagine what it's like to be in a car.
Yeah, okay. Because he was then telling me, hey, I'm literally getting up and about. I'm literally exercising more because of this thing, because of the Apple Watch.
Well, explain that, because the watch is handy the way it represents your activity and your movement with rings.
That's right. There's 3 different rings. Your move ring, your exercise ring, and your stand ring.
Why are you laughing?
Because I can see the look on your face and I can see it deteriorating.
No, but this is the main part that actually is the entire nugget here about what's motivating our friend John.
Basically, you have different goals that you have to try and fulfill throughout the day, and when you achieve those goals, the rings fill up. So you want to hashtag close your rings.
Close your rings. Which you were saying it used to be they workshop some trade.
No.
I always said
that it'd be funny if it was fill your rings.
You said it was going to be fill your ring, but then Apple realized that could be interpreted in many ways. So
no,
it's now close your rings.
That was me suggesting that's probably
indeed. Well, that's great. It's great that the watch, I mean, I bag the watch and the technology because you're a fanboy, but it's excellent that it can do that and motivate people to work.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. And Johnny's like full on going, I need to close my rings. I need to fill them. I need to fill my
rings. Fill those rings, John. Fill them up.
And it's just interesting stuff. So I
otherwise, does the watch berate you and go, lazy?
It actually told me today, it's like, hey, Tom, usually you've filled your rings a bit more by this time today.
That's quite wordy. I would have just gone, hey, Tom. Oink, oink. Do you know what I mean? Like, get to the point, Apple Watch.
It's not.
Nah, but you know, you get the idea.
Just it comes up with a pig emoji.
Hey, Tom, you're a pig. Do something.
So I thought it'd be Steve fun Jobs. To find out what has motivated people to get off their ass.
Yeah, great.
What's motivated you? Johnny on 133353, what's motivated you?
Oh, how you going, boys? Look, I was watching Game of Thrones the other week and I got so hungry. I thought, I'm going to get off this couch and go get some food. But I got too lazy and ended up just getting Uber Eats instead.
So you didn't get off your ass.
And I didn't even go to the door. I got my housemate to go to the door.
Oh, Johnny. Yeah.
Johnny.
That's a real shame, Johnny. You let yourself down.
What did you get? What did you order?
Is this kebab plate thing that they do down at, where is it? Kingsgrove or somewhere.
Like a HSP? Yeah.
Beautiful.
With chips?
Not an HSP, mate.
No?
He said a kebab thing.
Okay. Hey, Johnny, if you were to describe just hypothetically, your body shape in a Game of Thrones character, who are you most like?
Jon Snow.
Oh, really? He's pretty fit.
Yeah, I'm probably not that fit. Same old Charlie. Probably Hodor.
133353. We want to know, what's motivated you? What made you get off your ass and get into gear? It might not have been exercise. It might have been to, I don't know, clean the gutters. Give us a call, 133353. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. The Fooies! The Fooies! The Fooies. Foo Fighters, Generator. And Ollie on Triple M. We ask questions. We will be asking what happened at the football very soon. What happened to the footy?
What happened at the footy? Not just on the field, but off the field,
what
behind the scenes,
what the footy?
In the stands.
Right now, 133353. What got you off your ass? What kicked you into gear? What motivated you? Not necessarily for exercise, but for anything in
general. Was it to fill your rings, as the Apple Watch encourages? Sorry, close your rings. Close your rings. Apple Watch encourages everyone to do that, and that's one of the beauties of having a watch. The downside is that you get a buzz every time you get a text or an email or anything in your life. Which I can't understand.
You can turn that off, Ollie. You don't have to.
It just seems over the top.
Yeah, all right. Well, this is
Maybe it was Biggest Loser, you know? Maybe that's what got you into gear.
I'm
and
glad
off your
you
ass.
Got the reference. I was worried. I thought you might not get the reference, Ollie.
Oh, mate, it's Shannon Noll. It's the best motivation you can get.
G'day, Mitch. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Thanks, boys. How you going?
Good, thank you. What got you off your ass, Mitch?
Well, I actually got a dog, and it got me out of the house a fair bit more because, you know, when you're at home on the couch or whatever, the dog gives you this look like, you know, I'm bored, and then do you have to take it out for a run or a walk? So
guilt, dog and the guilt.
Well, yeah, like, you just feel bad, but then afterwards you go for a run or whatever and you feel good, so it's sort of, you don't feel guilty for feeling guilty in the end.
And so have you, like, lost weight? Have you gotten healthier because of this dog?
Yeah, just like I wasn't overweight or anything, but just happier, I'd say. You know, like you sort of forget how good it is to get out there in the fresh air, I suppose, until after you've done it. Happier.
They also have done a heap of studies and say that dogs do actually make you happy. Like they actually provide companionship and, improve your mental health, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, the first couple of weeks I was just like cleaning up poo off the floor, so I don't know about that aspect. But
it's like looking after Ollie for the first week. Boom.
Yeah, good stuff. Boom. I was going to say the dog can't make you happy if the dog itself isn't happy. So you've got to walk the dog. Like if you didn't walk the dog, you'd just be two depressos sitting in the room, you know?
Jeez, you're good.
Yeah, well,
you've got a good brain on you, Ollie.
Better than a poo joke. So, you can always work on that, Tom.
Fair enough.
James, you've got off your ass by some motivation.
Yeah, I one day went in the bathroom, jumped on the scales and saw 3 digits there and thought, oh, that's not good. Hit the 100 kilos.
Yeah, that'll do it.
There wasn't boom, buzzer, like a yes, congrats. It was a dark moment.
Nah. Yeah, it was pretty bleak. I'm about average height, so carrying a lot of weight on the frame at that point.
Muscle weighs more than fat though, James. Maybe you're just a strong man.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah.
Nah.
So from there, James, what happened?
I started doing the 5-2 diet and
hit the gym
3 times a week, and in about 2.5 months, I lost 20 kilos.
Jesus.
That's great. How does gymming work alongside the 5-2? Because surely you can't gym after not eating.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Did that once and it nearly passed out, and that was bit of a silly idea.
Yeah.
But just don't go on the 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
I'd be very interested to try that. I reckon that'd be interesting. Although I did try it for a half day, and then I ended up eating way more than my 600 calories that I was allowed.
Is that like you wanted to try getting a guide dog and just fall to the wayside?
The guide dogs still haven't contacted me about getting to my info session.
Oh, so you're waiting on the guide dogs to get you a dog?
Correct. Well, I can't get my own guide dog. The guide dogs have to give me a guide dog, don't they?
I'm just saying there's a bit of a pattern here of, I might try that and not much follow-up going on.
Whatever, mate. Daniel on 133353, what motivated you?
G'day, guys. I started a bricklaying apprenticeship.
Oh, that'll do it. Yeah, that'll get you pretty
fit. That's like doing weights every day.
Yeah, basically. It's like cardio, weights, everything. Weighed 123 kilos when I started.
Wow.
End of my first year, I'd lost 37 and a half kilos.
Jesus Christ, that's so good.
Just by working.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, your diet changes a bit.
Party pies, you're eating sausage rolls.
And, yeah, all that went out the window. Went from 122 to 77 was the lightest I got.
Jesus.
And now I'm sitting at about 82 and a half because I've hit the gym and all that. So
muscle weighs more than fat.
Yeah, that's it. But now I've got a lot of skin.
Oh, really?
Around my midsection. Yeah. I mean, I put on the 40 kilos in probably about 12 months.
Yeah.
Around the same time that my missus at the time was pregnant. So I had stretch marks about as bad as she did. my skin's still all torn up and that, but, it's just the way it is.
So are you going to get that thing where you get it cut off or something?
Nah, no way. I put on about 20 kilos last year and then lost it at the end of the year again. And then sort of realised, I think this is just something I'm going to have to live with. I don't really want to do evasive surgery, you know what I mean?
It's probably
a bit more than I need to do.
Yeah,
I can just see Daniel and his wife just rubbing bio oil into each other's skins to fix the stretch mark.
Oh, it's nice.
It's lovely.
No, it's a nice image. I don't know why you were horrified.
You're the one that has sexma.
That's not a term.
It is.
It's simply eczema.
Yeah.
It doesn't become sexma when I'm doing the deed.
Yeah, it does.
It's just plain eczema. It's not very sexy.
Yeah, it does.
All right, we're moving on. 133353 is our number. Get involved here. If you've been to the footy and you've seen something just wacko, if you've been in the stands watching a game of footy or any sport, I don't know why we said footy.
Because it's the finals.
Yeah, great. But if it's rugby, whatever, any stadium sport, you've been in the stands and you've seen something wacko go down. We had a pretty full-on story from last weekend's Richmond game.
What happened at the footy? 133353. Give us a call. It's Tom and Ollie. Oh, and Triple M. John Lennon with Instant Karma. Still got some Baby Animals, New Killers, and ZZ Top coming up. I should say ZZ Top, but it just doesn't make
any ZZ
sense.
Top is how you say it.
Yeah, I know, but we're in Australia, aren't we? You're not going to say Z.
I think Z is always a bit like, oh, come on, mate, you're not in prep.
Really?
Yeah.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M, we ask questions. Maybe we'll ask how you say Z.
What's the proper way? If you've got a strong opinion on that, you can get involved.
God, so lame.
But what did you see at the footy is our question right now. What did you see at the footy or NRL, rugby, or for that matter, cricket? Any stadium vibe, I feel like. I got an insight to this because recently I went to a game with my girlfriend. She's a massive Geelong fan.
Cool.
Now, she's an MCC member, right? Which means she takes me to the members.
Here we go.
So start the booing.
Oh, hoity-toity.
Get the booing going. Because, look, fair enough. I've always thought, I don't go to the games much, so I didn't care. But you go to the members, and then you go to the actual punters section where most people are. It's so much more fun. You see a lot more action go down there.
Oh, absolutely.
Members is all just like, oh, how's your accounting job going? It's like, oh, who cares? Show me some action. So we moved to the members. I was like, Sarah, it's too cold here at the members. Let's go to the main section to general. And there's like five guys dressed as oompas, oompa loompas. I'm like, this is way better. But a story came out last weekend about a woman who had a fairly massive life moment happen at the game in the stands.
It was 2 days ago. Her name's Ash. And this was on the Hot Breakfast in Melbourne with Eddie and Mick McGuire.
Mick McGuire. If Eddie hears that, God. Eddie Mick and Das.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Tom, push the button.
Now, her name's Ash, and pretty huge life moment.
Just sitting there with my brother-in-law, and all of a sudden my water's broke, and he just looked at me and thought, oh, you're kidding. So,
what about the bloke in front of you? He said, stop spilling your drink. What's going on?
Good on you, Eddie.
Good from Mick Maguire. Eddie Maguire. Come on, mate. So, look, 133.53.
Shut the hell up.
What have you seen at the footy?
Because a lot of buttons over here.
There's a lot of people at the footy, Tom, and I feel like when you get 80,000 people into a space, things happen. Things go wrong, things stuff up.
You could go into birth.
Into birth is one way to put it. So, Michael, thanks for giving us a buzz, mate. How are you?
G'day, boys. Not bad. Yourself?
Excellent.
Struggling.
What did you see at the footy or any stadium-sized equivalent?
So, this one's actually a cricket story.
Oh, yeah? Cricket.
I was at the Ashes last year, great, you know, having a good day, as you do, thinking a few cold ones.
Yeah.
And there are these blokes coming round asking everyone for their empty cups, you know, the cups they give you at the G.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they've just been good guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
anyway, a few hours go past, I'm coming round a few more times, starting to think to myself, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah.
So, wander over to where they are, have a look what they're doing. They've collected hundreds of cups, made a wizard staff from them, about 12 metres long.
Oh, lads, the lads. And I guess,
and you know, they're all just stacked one in another.
And the implication was that they've drunk all those cups, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were people going, these guys are the best, or what was the crowd's vibe?
Oh, yeah. Once I found out, everyone was bringing them cups.
Forget the Ashes. Forget the world-class cricketers. This guy stacked 100,000 cups together and made a wizard stick.
Michael, you have literally just won the argument that cricket is the most boring sport. If that's what's happening in the stands, that is ridiculous.
You've got to worry.
133.53. What did you see at the footy? What did you see at the sporting event? Give us a call. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Like the kid from Uncle Buck.
Where do you live?
In the city.
Do you have a house?
Apartment.
On a rent?
Rent.
They've got questions.
That's my job.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
What did you see at the sporting spectacular? Be it AFL, be it NRL, NFL even, Tom, if you've been to the States. I want to know if you've seen anything crazy in the stands. Because just people get loose and things get crazy with masses of people. Nathan.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are you?
Thanks for calling us on 133.53. That's our number, Nathan. What happened?
Oh, mate. Well, it was back in the day when I was a young fella and we used to go to the cricket all the time, and it was a big one dayer, and it was the Australia versus the Poms, and this Tommy guy stood up in the middle of the crowd on the hill when they still had the hill, which was the best at that time. And he stood up and basically turned around and gave the finger to all the crowd and said, "Stuff you Aussies." And he got showered with a hail of empty or half empty beer cans and the likes. And and then straight after, he pulled out this massive big garbage bag and went, "Thanks, fellas," because that was back in the time of cash of can days. And so he basically got millions of cans chucked at him, and then he just put them all in the garbage bag. But I'm sure he copped a few half-full ones in the head for his troubles as well. So.
Off he went and made $12. It was all worth it.
Awesome. He used to make more money of it, but we were just thinking, you scabby pommy bastard, you know? It's awesome.
Yeah, they're all bloody poor scabs, aren't they, those pubs?
Yeah.
Bring on the Ashes.
Yeah,
but it was unreal. Right. But the hill back in those days had the best atmosphere.
All right, mate. 133.53. What did you see at the sporting event? Were you still doing this?
Mate, it's better than what got off your ass.
Yeah, you're right. That started the show as well.
Yeah, always start with the best.
God, falling asleep. Tom and Ollie, Triple M, 133.53. Give us a call, please. Baby Animals, early warning. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. If you had an exchange student and they did something a little bit weird, or maybe you're an exchange student and your family was strange, 133.53, in about 5 minutes' time, we're going to be talking about exchange students. I had one that did something a little bit strange.
God, we asked some good questions, Tom.
No, we don't.
And that's one of them. But right now, what did you see at the footy / rugby / cricket? Tom, don't yawn because, you know, this is a potential pot of gold here.
Okay.
133.53, you've got to get involved if you've been to a major sporting event and just seen some kooky stuff go down in the field.
We heard on Monday on the Hot Breakfast with Eddie, Mick and Das in Melbourne. On Monday morning, we heard from Ashley, who went into labour during the GWS.
And that's just one of many crazy things, Tom, that could happen when you're at a great game in the field, in the stands, rather. Uh-huh. Forget the field. The field's what everyone talks about.
Yeah.
Let's focus on the stands. What went down? Dave on 133.53, you're at the MotoGP. What happened?
Yeah. Back in the day, we were watching Casey Stoner win his first world title, and we're on turn one there, and behind us is the campground and like the cheap seats, you know.
Oh yeah.
So anyway,
my mate touched me on the shoulder and has a bit of a laugh, and he's looking at these people that are trying to pick something up off the ground, and every time they go to pick it up, the thing would move. So they're sort of chasing this thing along the ground, and finally they'd sort of get to pick it up, and they'd work out what it is. Mate, it was a dildo. The blokes from the campground were casting with a fishing line the dildo into the ground. They were luring people in. They're really hooking people in. I'm doing it all afternoon.
You've won, Tom, over.
That is really good. I was really bored there for a second, Dave, and you won me back with a fishing line dildo. That is the cleverest thing anybody's ever done in the world.
Tom, you'd fall
for that. Have a good night, fellas.
She's out.
All right, see you.
She's out. Yeah, well, you can't beat that, so well done, Dave. Tom, you'd fall for that, wouldn't you? You'd chase it around a bit. You'd give it a...
Who wouldn't?
You'd give a bit of chase.
Can I just say, who wouldn't? It doesn't matter about my sexual preference, you idiot. Don't bring that into it.
Well, you
who
can't...
wouldn't chase around a dildo? Who wouldn't chase one round?
Good question.
No, you'd you would go over and look at it, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
and as you go and look at it, it's running away.
Yeah, look, I'm above that stuff. I mean, I just don't think that's.
Oh, hang on, I'll just run that through the computer. No, you're not.
I definitely would. I would chase a dildo around. That's bloody bloody funny.
Grab that audio.
Well, it seems like we've run out of great stories.
Oh, hang on, let me put that question through the computer, see if it's... Oh, yeah, no, it was pretty shit.
Well, over to you then, Tom, to make it
better.
Oh,
this is mine. Yeah, cool. This is going to be fun. Hey, remember when back in the 90s when it was massive to have an exchange student? I know that it was a thing at my school. We had a Japanese exchange student, right?
I think it's still a thing now. You're just not in school.
Is it still a thing, though?
People still go in exchange.
Really?
I think you'd be surprised.
Well, then this is brilliant. 133353, I want to know, what did the exchange student do? There's a clash of cultures that happen with exchange students.
Mm.
Maybe it was your exchange family. What was the weird thing that you experienced over there? It's just that whole situation of being in a different country and being a kid is strange. So 133353, what did the exchange student do? I'll tell you what mine did after we went down to Phillip Island in Victoria to go see the little penguins.
Okay, I was going to say, give us a clue of their background. Japanese. Okay.
She did something very strange on the drive down there. For the whole drive. And this is like about an hour and a half drive.
If you can guess what Tom's Japanese exchange student did
on
the drive down, then what did you win?
Nothing.
A coaster.
No.
Stubby holder.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Don't have any of them.
Sorry.
133353. What did the exchange student do? It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Brand new killers now. Run for cover. Turn it up. Triple M. Looking forward to those guys playing at the AFL Grand Final this Saturday. The Killers, Run for Cover, Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We're asking on 133353, what did the exchange student do? I was reminiscing on a drive the other day about when we had a Japanese exchange student back when I was in primary school. And I feel like it was all the rage to have an exchange student.
That's pretty cool. Not everyone got one of those. I never got one.
You never got an exchange student?
Like a Furby. I never got one. I didn't receive one. But you came from, you quite a conservative family in more of a beachy, out of the metro city vibe area. Was a Japanese kid a bit of like, oh, what's going on over here?
Nah, Japanese, like Japan was like pretty cool, hey. Like Japan, and it still is. It's like a pretty cool thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm just saying, where you're from, it's very white bread. I'm just saying, so was it foreigners? Was it like...
Nah, I don't think so. I hope not.
I guess you're a
kid. I mean, I was young.
Probably didn't know.
I didn't care.
So what did this kid do? Boy or girl?
A girl?
Yeah.
I've forgotten her name. It was a long time ago.
Doesn't matter.
We took her down to see the penguins, which is an attraction down at Phillip Island in the south of Victoria, right?
Lovely.
And you go see the
penguins. She would have loved that.
It's about an hour and a half drive from where we were.
She's getting photos.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just like a good tourist thing to do. Like even when... our friends from like Adelaide came over. We'd go see the penguins. It was like a go-to thing for our
family. She'd be getting photos though, mate. Let's be honest.
Absolutely. Actually, she had the first ever digital camera that I ever saw.
Oh.
Because it was like amazing. Extreme technology from Japan.
A little jealous Tom.
I was.
Yeah.
She sent me a gold-plated Pokemon card though, so I was fine. I was really happy with that. Hey, so we were driving down there. She fell asleep, but she fell asleep in a strange way in the sense that she kind of... just fell asleep with her head forward the whole time. Which is a very interesting way to fall asleep on a drive, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's is that a cultural thing, do you think? Or?
I don't know, but then
But then she also didn't come out of her room the whole time, like when we were at home. She's like hung in the room. And we're like,
that's pretty classic teen, though.
Do you want to come out? And she's like, no, I'm good.
We're like, okay. I'm good. I'm going to sleep against the wall with my head against the wall.
So 133353, I thought it could be fun. What did the exchange student do? It's a clash of cultures. You know, who knows what's going on?
No one knows what they're thinking. They can't speak the language. Everyone's confused.
Wendy on 133353, good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Good. When did you have an exchange student? How long ago was it?
About 3 weeks ago.
Oh, wow. So it is still a thing.
Oh, this is. Oh, she's gone now, but thank God.
Yeah. Not gone. Like, she's still with us.
Yeah, she's gone home. Yeah. She's
gone home. She's gone home. But the strangest of things happened. Yeah. She would come down to breakfast, lunch, and dinner in her underwear.
That's very interesting, Wendy.
She's from Italy, of all places. And I thought, at first, my husband and my son thought it was a cultural thing, you know?
Yeah.
But,
is it?
But no. She just wanted to pose those big-sized lemons of hers.
How old was she?
15. I couldn't believe it.
And she was just showing off. Who was she showing off to?
I don't know whether it was my partner or my 22-year-old son at the time.
Oh, my God.
Probably your son, let's be honest. Unless your husband's some kind of looker.
Oh, no, no. But you can imagine that didn't go really well with the family for 2 weeks.
So did you have to have a bit of a chat, Wendy?
Yes. Well, eventually we sort of said it wasn't appropriate. But one other time she decided to bend over from coming out of her bedroom right in front of my son's face. So,
She's an absolute minx. Sexed up. She's a temptress.
She's a temptress, all right. Yeah, I'm just glad that she's gone back to Italy now. But
big chow to her.
Big chow. Yeah, she was a Bella, all right.
Oh, love it, Wendy. Well, thank you very much for sharing your story. Love it too much.
Monica Bellucci.
And I love the idea of having have a bit of a word to the exchange student as well.
Please put some clothes on. My son and maybe my husband are not comfortable.
Ellie on 133353, what did your exchange student do?
Hi, guys. It was my neighbours. And they hosted a number of students. And there were a few, but one that stands out was they had three little boys in their house.
Yeah.
They came home one day and the 15-year-old exchange student, female, was having sex in the shower. With a guy. They arrived home and, that's what they encountered. They had another one.
So not one of the sons, just a random guy?
No, just a random guy.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
what country?
Very Christian people.
Let's stereotype here. What country?
China.
China. Okay. It's breaking some stereotypes for me.
Yep. And they seem to have always Chinese. And another one would stay in his room all the time except to come out and get food or go to school.
Yeah, it's weird that.
He would leave plates of food in there and they would end up with mould on them.
Oh, that's not as salacious. Look, we've definitely opened a can of exchange student worms here that are far more sexual than we would have expected, Tom.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting, isn't
it? We've got flaunting girls and people having sex in the shower.
133353, what did your exchange student do?
Hasn't got to be sexy, despite the calls we're getting.
No, not at all.
But that's interesting.
Good. 133353, exchange students discuss. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Legs, ZZ Top. Not ZZ Top. Sounds weird.
ZZ.
ZZ Top.
If you love them, you probably love shooting and hunting.
I was about to do that, Ollie.
Well, I feel like you were staggering there.
Yeah, I was trying to find the gun sound effect.
If you love shooting and hunting, Tom particularly wants to hear from you. If you're a bloke who just loves those classic manly
shooting and hunting
activities.
Shooting and hunting.
Shooting and hunting. Stick around after 8.
Here we go.
Right now. Oh, if you love that. If that just gets you going. Sounds like Al Jazeera news, but... Anyway. Oh, far out. That's...
Okay, too
so
much.
Graphic. Okay. What did the exchange
student
do?
Shooting and hunting, mate. It's shooting
well,
and hunting.
Well, we're going to pivot swiftly to exchange students from there. What did they do? Was it weird? Was there a cultural barrier? I know my sister went to France about 2 years ago now. And she was quite shocked because it was like the sort of French, it wasn't Paris, it was the mountains. So they were quite...
The French Alps.
Yeah, but like country folk, right, in totally. France. And essentially they wouldn't let her snack.
They'd vote no.
Well, possibly, I don't know. But they wouldn't let her snack in the kitchen outside of mealtimes ever.
What?
And they had dinner at 10:30 at night.
Oh my God.
So Imi, my sister, was she's like, Mum, calling Mum going, I'm hungry. I'm always hungry.
Oh.
I'm losing weight. I can't do my homework because I'm literally hungry. And she go in the kitchen. The mum's like, get Imogen, get out of there. It's like, bugger off, mate. I'm from Australia. I need to eat Lamington.
Where are my shapes? Where are my shapes?
Where are my shapes, Mum? French mum?
French mum on Imi tiny teddies.
Imi, I don't know what they are.
That's not a French. That was not a French accent, you twat.
No, I tried. You've got to give it a go.
Hey, Tom.
Oh.
Hey. Hey. Ahoy.
Sorry, boys. How are you?
Nah, I caught you off guard, Tom. Sorry. Usually I do that. And now Tom on 133353. What did the exchange student do?
Well, we had this little Japanese fella staying with us a couple of years ago. Mm. And his bed was next to mine. And at night time, he just left the light on. I just thought it was a bit odd. We lived out in the country.
Yeah.
And I think Dad was like, what the hell is this little bloke doing? And he walked in one night. Because the light would not go off.
Okay.
And he was lying on his bed with his eyes open. This is like 3 in the morning.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And Dad's like a pretty Australian sort of bloke. And I think he got a bit of a shock. So he thought he'd just clap over his head.
What?
Just to see if he'd get a reaction. Like, he thought he was sleeping with his eyes open.
Yeah,
right.
And then the little Japanese, like, just looked at him and he was awake.
Yeah.
So I think after that, he didn't say too much for the next 2 weeks.
No, I wouldn't, because old guy's clapping over my head while I'm lying there awake.
Was he waiting for the light to be turned off by an elder?
No, I think he was just a little weirdo.
Surely there's a reason, like, he must need sleep as a human.
We'd go to school in the morning and he'd just fall asleep in the car. I don't know. I think he slept 20 minutes a day.
The jet lag?
I don't think so. He was with us for 3 weeks.
Did you say to him, can you turn your light off, please?
Yeah, it was distracting because I'd be trying to sleep and his light would be coming through my door.
Yeah, and so what did he say when you said, can you turn your light off?
Well, he could hardly speak a word of English.
This is a great mystery that I wish you'd solved in the moment because we can't solve it now.
Well, I was planning on staying with him. We're going to Japan in a few weeks, and I messaged him on Facebook, and I never heard back.
He's asleep. God. He's too tired.
Tom, can you just, on the off chance that he might message back, can you please just now for us message him, hey, dude, what was with you sleeping with the light on?
Yeah, I'll give it a crack.
Yeah, give it a crack. And then we're on Facebook, Tom and Ollie, so if you can screenshot a response if he does it and send it to us, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
isn't the whole point that you speak Japanese and he does too, so you can sort of connect?
No, I don't know. I don't know how we got stuck with him.
Classic Aussie hospitality. Don't know how you got here, mate, but I guess I'll feed you.
I'm really wondering why he's sleeping with his eyes open at night. It's because Tom's dad's going to kill him. That's what he's afraid of. Because he's going, all right, mate, how you going? You're going pretty good. And he's like, holy shit, I'm freaking out.
He's just seen Wake and Fright or some other Aussie classic film about murderers.
He's seen Wolf Creek and he can't sleep, the poor thing. Hey, Claudine.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Your mother had an exchange student.
Yeah, she had a couple girl exchange students many years ago, and she lived in the Sutherland Shire, and upstairs, every time she could just smell this smell, and she couldn't work it out for, like, probably nearly a week, right?
Yeah.
And that was it. It did her head in, and she checked the toilet bins, and there was poo in there, wrapped up.
So
these James didn't know that they could use the toilet, so she had to get them aside and explain the process.
No, that's a real thing though, Claudine, because I don't know if you've ever been to Bali, but it always says put your tissues in the bin. And I never know if I'm allowed to flush the toilet tissue or if I have to put it in the bin.
Okay, I thought that they were putting the actual deposit into the bin.
I don't think so, no.
Claudine, just the paper.
They were putting the whole poo and the paper in the bin. I can guarantee it. My mother went off.
What were they using the toilet for? Just
sitting on it. None of this, if it's mellow, let it, what is it? You
yellow,
know?
Let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down.
What country were they from?
They were from China or Japan.
Jeez.
They were definitely Asian.
Hang on, but Japan has like the best toilets in the world.
Yeah,
they're
maybe
not
it was Chinese. It was many years ago, and I'm thinking it was definitely these two Chinese girls.
Yeah.
So Mum got rid of them soon after that.
You've got to give the tour when they arrive. You know, here's the kitchen, there's the food in the pantry, here's the toilet, sit on it. do the business, wipe it properly.
But that's an actual thing, Ollie, because there's different sanitation around the world. You know how you see signs at the airport and stuff and at some like shopping centres that says how to sit on the toilet?
Yeah.
At unis, they have it as well because it literally is different here.
Which is like a gag at unis. It's so like, amazing. Who's doing poo like this? Everyone's so stupid.
Yeah,
but you're right.
Like,
there's actually a reason.
It's actually like a cultural difference that we should be actually educating
James
about.
And John and Jesse are all going, everyone's so stupid. They don't know how to poo.
And everybody tags it and goes, hope you stay stupid, poo like this.
Yeah, spot on. Glenn on 13353, what did your exchange student do?
Oh, g'day, guys. It's, well, more of what we did to our exchange student.
Oh, no, Glenn.
What did you do to him?
My grandparents had a Japanese exchange student through the Rotary Club.
Yeah.
And he was keen to see a bit of Australian wildlife, and we took him up the bush to my cousin's farm.
Oh, no.
And we took him out spotlighting.
Oh God!
And we were sitting in the back with spotlights and
spotlighting is with the kangaroos, right?
Yes.
Oh God!
And my cousin's up there. Pretty much anything that moves is fair game. And the first kangaroo this poor Hiramichi saw was probably about 20 meters away from us, stuck in the spotlight.
Yeah.
And as he jumped out to run towards his poor kangaroo, my cousin opened up with this high-powered rifle and just imploded this thing's poor head. And he, poor Hiramichi, then spent the next 3.5 hours back to Melbourne just wailing in the back of the car.
Oh, my God!
Poor bugger just had no idea what spotlighting was all about in Victoria.
You scarred an exchange student.
Absolutely. Scarred him for life.
Well, on that, up next, we want to discuss shooting and hunting.
Are you just like Glenn and his family?
Oh, do you like shooting and hunting? Do you love shooting and hunting? I actually don't know anybody that does. So I just thought it'd be fun to ask on 13353 if you like shooting and hunting.
You can't get enough of burying some lead into an animal. It's pretty full on.
Give us a call, 13353. And Ollie, spotlighting, it's pretty full on. If you've never seen the film Wake in Fright, have a look. It's some intense stuff, but it'd scare you as well. Tom and Ollie, Triple M.
It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Tom reckons he's a good swimmer.
My 11-year-old, he does that as a warm-up.
The other fancies himself as a DJ. But what they can do is ask questions.
How much have you spent on your pet?
$30,000 on our cat.
How's the cat now?
Dead.
He's dead.
Yeah.
All right. Well, worth it.
It's been described as juvenile talkback.
What date did you forget, Steve?
Me and my wife got married in April last year. Her birthday's on the 17th of April. I forgot both.
Oh, my God.
So sit back, but don't relax. This is Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Who's a macho man? I'm a macho man. Who's a macho man? You're a macho man.
Is that a thing? I feel like you're only a macho man, Tom.
Macho man? You're a macho man.
Oh, sorry. You know, you keep going. You've got more to give, do you?
Who's a macho man? Belle's a macho man.
Belle's giving you a face of like, you've gone crazy.
No, she just put her arms up and went, yay!
She's worried for you, and so am I.
Who's a macho man? Eli's a macho man. What are you doing?
Get back. Cut the music. You're only a macho man if you like shooting and hunting. And I think fishing.
Oh, Jesus.
That's how I fish. Take a machine gun to the water and just... Just kidding. I hate fishing.
13353. We want to know, do you love shooting and hunting? Do you love shooting and hunting? Because, to be honest, pretty sheltered. And I have not done some shooting and hunting. I've done some fishing.
You've seen the penguins at Port Phillip Island with the Japanese exchange student.
Yeah, man. But I'm not a shooter or a hunter, you know?
What do you want to know here? Aussie dudes out there love shooting.
Don't say of course to me, Ollie. You don't say of course. Who in your life do you know that loves shooting and hunting?
Dan.
Who's Dan?
You don't know. He's a mate of mine.
Well, I just thought it could be fun to burst my little bubble here and find out who loves shooting and hunting and what the appeal is.
Look, I don't get it. I don't get why. I know guys do, but I'm with you and I don't understand why.
G'day, David.
How you going, boys?
You love shooting and hunting?
I love it.
You love it?
Yeah, the best.
What do you shoot, David?
I try to shoot deer in the wintertime, and in the summer we'll go shoot foxes and rabbits or whatever, cats, ferals.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What when was your first shooting?
I first really shot a gun when I was in the Army Reserves in my early 20s.
Okay.
And I really only joined because I wanted to shoot guns and blow stuff up.
Mm. I feel like that's a wrong thing.
Wrong motivation.
Only, it's not wrong. You just think it's wrong.
Yeah.
And then I got my gun license, started getting into it, and been deer hunting for about 3 years now. Took me a year to get my first one, but I got three this year, so I'm doing all right.
Yeah, right. Are you good at buck hunter in the pubs?
Nah, the sights are crooked and it's got nothing to do with hunting.
I knew it.
What? Isn't that realistic to real life?
Yeah.
With the babes?
There's just hundreds of deer running around, you know?
And the babes in the corner with the signs?
Yeah.
Is your gun pink or blue?
Wood and black.
Yeah, right. It says here that you're making jerky now. I love me some jerky, David.
Can we play a song, for God's sake? Yep. Can we just get out of this and play a song?
Why? I'm having fun. Boy, it's talking
ten,
to David.
It's 8:10. We haven't played a song yet.
All right, fair enough. 133353. If you love shooting and hunting, give us a call. Tom and Ollie, Triple M. It's called Chisel. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We'll be asking, how long have you lived with your ex very soon?
Oh, it's juicy stuff.
Right now.
Oh, God.
Shooting and hunting.
Shooting and hunting. Shooting an AK-47.
Shooting and hunting.
At an innocent animal. What's the question here, Tom? I mean, we're trying to get to the bottom of this very Aussie passion of hunting.
It's not Aussie. I would not call this Aussie. Would you call this Aussie?
It's pretty outback. I mean, back in Albury, we were living in Albury. Plenty of guys had their utes with the big
shooting
lights,
and hunting.
The big spotlights in the front of the car and at the top of the tray to spotlight the animals. It's pretty outback.
I suppose it is. If I looked at a stoic Aussie man, I wouldn't necessarily think shooting and hunting. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's why you're naive then. That's why you're asking this question.
I suppose so. I'd say, is this a knife? You think that's a knife? This is a knife? Well, I would think that's more Australian.
Oh, yeah. That's
with your
Crocodile
knives.
Crocodile Dundee.
So, like, knives and hunting, maybe?
That's just from a movie.
Yeah, but shooting and hunting, I don't think so.
More American. Well, we'll ask the hunters who've called up and the shooters if they think they feel Aussie doing it. Russell, is it an Aussie thing, do you think?
Oh, bloody oath.
Bloody oath.
Well, if you add bloody oath to anything, it'll be Aussie. Russell, you're a shooting and a shooter and a hunter?
Yeah, sure am.
Yeah, cool. And how often you do it?
A few times a year, try and get out west and have a shot.
Out west. So how far west are you going?
Oh, I go out about an hour past Dubbo or 2.5 hours past Dubbo.
Yeah, and what kind of land? Like parks or what?
No, family's farms.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't just go and take your gun anyway, can you?
Nah, or you can, but you get a bit of strife.
Yeah, that's true. And what are you shooting and hunting?
A few roos and goats, pigs, foxes, rabbits, whatever's going on.
Whatever's moving, really.
Pretty much, yeah.
And so when you kill them, do you just leave them there or do you take them with you?
I'll generally cut a few up for the dogs. It just depends what you're shooting to. Pigs will just leave there. Nothing else is really sort of, anything else you cut up for the dogs, yeah.
Right. Why are you shooting a pig and leaving it?
Because they're the biggest pest of them all.
Are they?
Yeah.
What do they do?
They just destroy everything.
Yeah, right, like crops and stuff?
Yeah, crops and stuff and animals and all the rest of it, yeah.
Can you eat a pig that you shoot?
If you're good at cleaning them up.
Is that hard?
Oh, I wouldn't even bother.
Why?
Pork's cheap.
But could you get some bacon off them?
Oh, you could, yeah. Some of you shoot a bit over 100 kilos.
Oh, wow.
Why wouldn't you, if you shot the pig, you could get it and then cut it up and then you'd have meat for ages.
Oh, you could, but you got to be a butcher, mate. You got to bleed it all properly and do right.
He's not Shrek.
Who's got time for that?
He's not just living out there off the land, like eating one thing every day.
But it's free, isn't it? I mean, it's a free pig. You could have that's a lot of bacon. I'm guessing a lot of bacon coming from one pig, you know?
Yeah, but do you want to eat bacon 3 meals a day for 5 weeks? Because
you freeze it, dude. You freeze it, bro. And I'd eat it every
now
morning.
You're an expert.
I'd eat it every morning.
You would. You love your bacon in the morning, don't you? With a side of hashed potatoes.
Stop
and
it.
What do you get? The hash brown?
Okay. Adam on 133353. You go spotlighting a bit, do you, Adam?
It was actually 20 years ago, and now I'm a city slicker, so that those days are behind me.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so yeah, was you hang your guns up, do you?
Was there an event that that kind of changed this for you?
Yeah, well, back in the day, I heard you mention Albury, and this was in Tumbarumba.
Okay.
Anyway, we went out spotlighting one night, and he thought, I'll take the dogs as well. Just, I don't know, you don't argue with the farmer. So I thought, sure. Righto, cool. Yeah. We were after kangaroos. His dogs cornered a kangaroo in a field.
Oh, my God.
And all the kangaroo could do was run to a dam.
Oh, my God.
And the dogs followed it into the dam and proceeded. Four of them just grabbed one by the testes, one by the neck. Yeah, all directions. And I've never forgotten the sound of a kangaroo drowning, screaming. Anyway, sorry, guys.
It's heavy, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyway,
so that turned you off it. Gone.
I was just disgusting. But anyway, you've got they wreck fences and stuff, and that's just the way they roll.
Yeah.
But my mate just went a bit white, and he just said, Adam, tell him I'm walking back to the farm. I thought, yeah, softy. But yeah, so that was that, and never done it again.
Yeah, I can imagine. I see why. I mean, I'm not really a fan of it in general, but so I'm here to learn, that's why. But that you don't want to see an animal being drowned. It's just
Is spotlighting just hunting at night time?
The farmer just thought that was just the best thing he's ever seen.
Oh, he loved it, did he?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. But, not for me. Not for me at all. 133353. Let's keep this open. I want to hear from more shooters and hunters. I'm really getting into this mindset. I want to get into it.
We're going to convince you, Tom.
Well,
going to get you out there with a gun.
Yeah, I just want to learn more about this because it's such a section of a society that I just don't know much about. So 133353, Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Numb, Linkin Park, Tom and Ollie on Triple M. Hopefully we get to weird allergies before 9 o'clock because then we go naughty. We get naughty after nine. And look, I'm going to say this. So if there's young ones in the car, maybe turn down just for 10 seconds or so. For naughty after nine, first up, we're going to be trying to find the oldest man, I'm going to say, to have a nocturnal emission.
No, you can say wet dream. It's not a gross thing.
Yeah, sure.
It's the words wet and dream.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I think you need to cool it on that sound effect.
Hunting and fishing is what we're talking about now. Hunting and fishing. We're really learning. We're learning about a different section of society that I really don't, like, I don't hang out with people that go shooting and hunting.
You don't hunt. I thought you'd be a hunter, knowing you. You know, your Apple Watch, your iPhone, your iPad, your Mac.
Cruise, I hunt. Do I hunt?
Nah.
I go a certain type of hunting.
MILF hunting.
Definitely not.
That's a thing.
DILF hunting.
Where is MILF hunting? Oh, I know where it's a thing from.
Where's it a thing from, Ollie?
Naughty after nine.
Okay. Shooting and hunting and fishing. No fishing. Fishing is, you know.
Fishing's boring.
Yeah. Hey, Dylan.
How you going?
You go shooting and hunting?
I do indeed.
MILF hunting, Dylan?
No, I'm married with three kids, mate. I'll pass on that one.
Good.
I'll
get myself. You'd be against the MILF hunting, and then
that's right. Yeah.
What do you do? What's the deal?
Well, me and one of the boys I work with, we go out on a farm every couple of months and cull the deer that keeps chewing up, you know, the farmer's land. He's got dairy farm there, and the deer just come in and eat all these lucerne and chaff and all that sort of stuff, and we go out there and take care of it.
See, I get this. I get Boxes, this idea from it, like bruise. That you're getting rid of something that is literally maybe deteriorating your work.
The pest.
Yeah, but it's not just that, mate. Like with a deer, like I bring the meat home. I tell my kids exactly where it come from.
Yeah.
A week later, we sit down, we have nice venison and bit of veggies,
I like that as well, Dylan. I like that there's a bit of education in it as well.
Oh, mate, no point in lying to him. Like, that, there was a song that, what did the fox say? I had my 7-year-old daughter run around going, nothing, because he's dead. Like,
hanging on a fence next to the road.
Pretty much.
Is there two strains of hunting, Dylan? Is there hunting that's quite economical and you know, you get rid of what you don't need and all that, but the other one is just shooting willy-nilly?
Yeah, and I sit on the fence for both of them. I'm content to go out and just shoot anything that moves, but within reason. And the same aspect, if there's something there that's edible and I've got the time to butcher it, then I'll do that too.
Is there a lot of people in your friendship circle that do the hunting and the fishing? I mean, the shooting?
The shooting, yeah, well, it's like a click. It's like a little niche. Once you get into it, like, you know, you find more and more people do it, and it's, you know, it's quite a vast community.
Do you it's like your friends doing drama, Tom. You've got a lot of drama friends, and Dylan's got hunting friends.
Do you feel like you're ever, you know, afraid to say that you're a shooter or a hunter?
Not at all.
Okay, that's cool.
Absolutely not. I think for yourselves, if you've never done it before, just go into one of your local ranges, you know, tell them you've never shot a gun. They'll run you through the safety procedures and everything like that. They'll let you have a go, and you can get a feel for it. It's one thing to shoot a piece of paper. It's another thing to take an animal's life, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Tom, here's what you do. You buy a gun, you buy some ammo, you go out at night time on your own with no preparation, and you just see what happens.
Just shooting to the
night. If you get eaten by a kangaroo, so be it.
Good. Hey, Jane.
Hi, how are you?
It's not my mum, is it? My mum's name's Jane. You go hunting with your husband, Jane.
I certainly do. I'm a bigger hunter than what he is.
Yeah, right. And what are you doing? What kind of things you're hunting?
You know, goats, pigs. You know, if we've got the tags, we'll go for the roos. Hubby and I are getting into the recreational side of things, going for the deer and the game hunting. That's our next big mission.
What did you say about going for the roos? What did you say you need to have?
You need to have tags when you shoot a roo. So you know, you can't just go out shooting kangaroos willy nilly. You actually have to have tags to shoot them. It's pretty much just sort of like a special license to say, yes, sure, I can shoot, you know, three roos on this property, you know, you can't, you know, they are technically still a native animal, even though they can be a pest as well, depending on where they are.
Yeah, right. And is it ever, is it a thing in your friendship group? Is there anyone that's kind of against it that you know?
No. Pretty much we always go out with the husband's friends. You know, that's who we go with. We're, as silly as it sounds, we're actually going away for my birthday in October on a shooting trip. So why not?
Whoop whoop. Jane, as a female in the shooting and hunting world, is there kind of a different stance, or can you kind of give it as well as you get it with the guys?
I sometimes give it more than, you know, what the guys do. I'm not afraid of a challenge, and I'm sorry to say, if a female can do it better, why not?
Yeah, so there's no like kind of sexism stuff going on in the shooting and hunting world.
Oh God, no, God, no. We're all equals. Cool. I can be just as much as, you know, of the boys group than, you know, what it is the girls group. So I'm the only female that goes away because I'm just too much like the bloke.
Well, you've all got a gun, so everyone's equal.
That's right.
So is it a regional thing, like a country thing? Are you from the country or?
No. I'm technically from up north in Newcastle. I live in Sydney now with my husband. We live in Western Sydney, but it doesn't matter where you're from. If you want to go shooting, it's the adrenaline pump that gets you.
You get decked out and off you go.
Yep, see you later.
Getting the camo. Getting the camo.
But don't kill a lion because you'll be hated online for a very long time.
On lion.
Online, yeah. Serious story though, so don't laugh about it.
No.
What was his name, the lion? True.
No, are you talking about the lion or are you thinking about...
The famous one.
The famous lion.
What's that lion? Or the tiger?
No, you're talking about the gorilla.
No, you idiot. That was in a zoo. There was a female hunter in America.
Oh, yeah.
Belle, do you want to see if we can find the name of that lion? And it was a big deal.
Hey, Joel, do you know what we're talking about here? The famous lion?
Yeah, Cecil.
Cecil.
Cecil the lion.
Cecil the lion.
And it was a girl, wasn't it? She was quite into the camo.
I didn't follow it that
much. Yeah, right.
You were shooting in a hunter?
Well, I am, yes.
What do you reckon about the Cecil thing then?
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I don't have the heart for it.
Yeah. Are you too scared to kill a lion or you wouldn't do it morally?
I don't think I'd do it morally. I couldn't hunt big game beyond like deer. Yeah. And I personally do it. If I shoot it, I butcher it and eat it.
Love it.
And I find that it's a good thing financially. Like you just save a lot of money. Like if you get a deer, you're going to pull off like ridiculous amount of kilograms of meat.
That's what I said, Ollie.
As organic as you're going to get.
Yeah.
I find it's a very big disconnect these days between us walking in Safeway and taking it off the rack. And the fact that, like, that way we can just stand back and go, oh, we had nothing to do with that. We're just eating our lamb chop.
I wholeheartedly agree, Joel. There is a massive disconnect between us and our food, and we definitely don't really get it, do we?
Yeah. And I was lucky. I grew up on a farm, and there's a lot of nuffy shooters out there that really don't deserve to have guns.
Yeah.
And I've seen the bad side of it, where we've had sheep shot, by people just because they had nothing else to shoot, so why not shoot someone's sheep?
Joel, last question. Can you say shooting and hunting with a G? Like, or does it always have to be without the G? It just always has to be shooting and hunting?
No, it definitely does not have to be shooting and hunting.
Well, what about shooting, hunting and fishing?
Yeah, nah, mate. It's all good.
Thanks so much, Joel. Thanks for having fun as well.
Well, I can't wait to see you head out, Tom, with a gun and kill a deer and feed us at the station here with some venison. That'd be great.
Oh, God, seeing imagine.
You're all morally all about that now.
Hey, coming up next...
Cop out.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Such a cop out. Hey, yeah, good one, Tom. Up next, 133353. How long have you lived with your ex?
Oh, God.
Simple question, complicated scenario, I'm sure. How long have you lived with an ex-partner?
That's up next. Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Think of it as juvenile talkback for grown-ups.
Well, I've just spoken to a f***ing idiot.
Tom and Ollie on Triple M.
Here's a strange one I heard, a story about a woman who broke up with her husband of quite a long time, Tom. This is from a girl from work. So okay. It's a good friend of hers. She broke up with her husband of, I'm guessing, quite a few years, five at least years. So a serious relationship. They go their separate ways. He ends up living at the house because he's got nowhere else to go. So he doesn't move out.
Yeah.
They've divorced. Oh my they've God. Broken up. She's then started seeing other people in a natural time frame, like not like rushing it through, like, oh, you moved on too fast.
Yeah.
Just like she's moved on over the course of a year or so. He's still living there.
After a year?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's still living there because he's got nowhere else to go, so she feels bad. So it's an incredible scenario where people find themselves living with their exes. It would be, I mean, am I right in saying when you break up with someone, even the 5 minutes you spend with them after breaking up with them is awkward enough?
Oh, it's enough.
It's enough.
You haven't even broken up with anyone.
No. Oh, well. Okay. Let's not go into my personal stories. But I didn't live with any girlfriends that I broke up with.
No.
So not as full on. So 133353, have you done this? Have you either been the ex who hung around? Less likely to call for that. Or were you the person who did the breaking up and your ex lived with you? You live with your ex after you broke up.
Oh, what are these colours?
Oh, psychedelic, bro.
What is going on in my head right now?
133353. Yeah, pass it over here.
How long have you lived with your ex, Tom and Ollie, on Triple M?
Oh, hell yeah. That is some good stuff from Cream.
Sunshine of Your Love, Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We may get to weird allergies. We might have to save it.
Hope not.
But Naughty After Nine, 20 minutes away. The oldest man to have a wet dream is what we're going to be looking for.
That is going to kickstart your Naughty After Nine. Oldest man to have an accidental dream, a nocturnal dream, as you called it, Tom.
Nocturnal emission.
Nocturnal emission.
Which is what they called it in the puberty book when I was growing up.
One person out of the team of four tonight, you, me, Belle, and Eli, has done this recently. That's all I'll say. Probably not Belle.
A nocturnal emission?
Yep.
Well, 133353, how long have you lived with your ex? How long have you lived with your ex?
How long have you had an awkward scenario where you just found yourself stuck living with an ex? Because it can't be fun. I imagine there's some, you know, comedically like black humor style moments of just pure tense emotion. God. You know,
you could write a whole series around it. A sitcom.
Absolutely. It'd be like The Big Bang Theory. Canned laughter and like...
It'd be like...
Wish you'd leave. Why don't you leave? I was here first. Yeah.
Like that?
That was a scene right there. Script that. And I'm on 353353. How long have you lived with your ex for?
Just over a year.
Oh, you're still doing it?
No, I've left now.
Oh, okay.
About a year ago. But
why?
Yeah, well, I moved out and then about 11 months later, I had to move out of where I lived and I couldn't afford another bond or anything, so I moved in there for a year, and then I ended up moving out with my daughter and her two children.
So what was the situation here? Was it a marriage, and how long was that for?
We were married for 7 years, and we got divorced for six. Wow. Then we were together for another 18-19 years.
Wow, so you got back together after the breakup?
Yeah, and then I left about 3 years ago, and yeah, it all came about from then.
So when you went back and you were you openly saying, look, we're not together, but I want to live with you because I need to?
Yeah, he offered.
Oh, he offered. Okay, so obviously it was a nice, a bit of an olive branch moment rather than being a tense bad thing? Yeah. Wasn't bad?
No, we always got along well anyway, and okay.
I was
in the spare room at his place, and
which
used to be our place, actually.
So. Yeah, right, yeah. Right. And so you're still friends now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's amicable. That's I was hoping for
nice.
More juice. You know,
it's very nice.
Hoping for some more drama to come out of this scenario.
Thank
here.
You for sharing, Anne, as well. Yeah, I suppose the stories we're looking for is, look, even if it was for like 2 or 3 days,
you know,
it doesn't have to be a long-term thing. Like, it doesn't have to be living.
Yeah.
It can be like staying.
You know, it's just fun sometimes to hear people go...
Don't put your head in your hands,
I was living with my bloody ex, and you hear the passion of, like, he was such a toss bag.
Oh, God.
And yet I was stuck there for several days or weeks or even months.
Give us that juice.
Give us
which is what I usually say on a Friday night. 1-3-3-5-3.
It's a family show.
How long? No, it's not.
You pig.
You do naughty after nine. How long have you lived with your ex?
Was it awkward? Was it tense?
Only for a couple of hours?
What happened?
Give us a call. Tom and Ollie, Triple M. Just give us a call, please. Hunters and collectors, just true tears of joy. Tom and Ollie on Triple M, we ask questions. 12 minutes till naughty after nine.
True tears of joy, you might feel those when your ex leaves your house after you've broken up, you could say, Tom.
And still working on writing that sitcom about you living with your ex.
Yeah.
Be good.
Wash the dishes. Why don't you wash the dishes? You made the meal. Good fun. Yeah, Belle loved that one, didn't she? God. Look, 1-3-3-5-3. How long have you lived with your ex? She's a good girl.
God, you're a good girl. Cutie. Don't give us the finger.
Hey, we're saying you're a good girl. It's nice.
Jesus. It's good. Hey, Connor on 1-3-3-5-3. How you doing, Connor?
I'm good, thanks, guys. How you going?
What are you up to? What are you doing right now?
I've just pulled over. I was driving home, in fact.
Yeah. Ah, cool. Good. After a long day at work.
Yeah.
Well, have you lived with your ex in the past?
Not myself, actually. It was my brother. My brother was dating someone who was living with her ex, and he wasn't aware of it for about 6 months.
Okay, so your brother was going out with a girl, but then when they went home to do the business, the ex was in the house.
Well, he wasn't, because from what I'm aware of, a lot of the time would be spent at his place, at my brother's place.
Yeah.
And then the times it would be at her place, the ex would either not be home or, you know, just be at work or something of the sort. And, he only found out about 6 months into the relationship. And obviously that caused a bit of tension.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember exactly how long they were together for. It might only have been a few months more after that, but she ended up breaking it off with him because she wanted to get back with the ex.
Oh, or her housemate, as he also was.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing at the time she was saying, no, there's no connection there. There's no...
Yep.
Yeah, but there was.
There sure was.
There's awkward stuff there. You're probably going to go back if you're living.
You just wouldn't live with your ex, would you? It's just not something you'd do.
Nah, but, anyway. But sometimes you're forced to, aren't you?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Hey, Brad.
Good evening, guys. How are you going?
Good, buddy. Have you had to live with your ex for a short period of time?
Well, it depends on what you call short. I had to live with mine after we had moved together interstate for about 6 weeks. So I'd broken it off to her, and for about 6 weeks, she was trying to get herself organised, and things weren't moving along too quickly, and it was always getting awkward every night because I tried to stay out as long as I could with work and free training and all that sort of stuff. And then I'd come home, and she would be sleeping on the lounge floor and trying to, you know, sort of grab me on the way through and try and work things out. And I basically gave her the point that things were definitely over when on the weekends, insinuating that, there were other people coming over and some of them may involve other women. So,
got some mates coming over to have a sleepover.
Yeah.
Have a few beers.
Yep.
Brad,
so we're hoping for some comedy here, but it just sounds like it was awkward and tense.
It was awkward and tense, but at the same time, a lot of it was, just trying to be as amicable as possible because, I mean, it was my decision to move in the state in the first place. And, you know, she was actually quite reasonable about it where, she could have taken half my stuff and you know, pillaged the house and everything and left me with an empty house with nowhere for me mates to sit. And,
yeah.
Yeah, but no, it worked out all.
Was it a long-term relationship? How long?
We were together for 7-8 months all up, but eight of those months were interstate. And, yeah, after about 5-6 months of being interstate, I called it off and she had to move back. So,
ah, Brad, well, thanks for showing, mate. That's it's kind of awkward.
No worries.
It's just like that sitcom.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Oh, more of that? Nah, there's no more of that.
Nah. Hey, up next, can I tell you a story about my dad's car when I had to drive it up to Brisbane?
Your dad's car?
My dad's car. It's got some weird features.
What about his yacht? Tell us about his yacht.
No, I'll tell you
he's
about
so
my
rich.
No, shut up. I'll tell you about my dad's car and the strange features I encountered. It's Tom and Ollie on Triple M. That's up next.
Ooh.
Green Day, Revolution Radio, which is this show. Tom and Ollie on Triple M. We ask questions. That's what we do. No questions till naughty after nine.
Do you think every radio show that plays that song, Tom, says after that song, which is what this is, Revolution Radio?
Let me check the computer. So just us.
I feel like they do.
Really?
Like it's the most obvious thing you could say.
Naughty after nine, we'll be asking and trying to find the oldest man to have a wet dream. But Ollie, last week I found myself stuck in Brisbane. Remember that on the Monday?
You booked a wrong flight.
And I got the chance to drive my dad's car. Now, driving a parent's car is always a very special thing to be able to get access to. I don't know about you, but
my mum's got a Toyota Camry. Oh. So that's pretty fun. What's your bloody dad? What's Ted driving?
Hyundai?
Oh, like yours, like a Getz.
Not like
Hyundai
a Getz.
Getz.
Not like a
got?
Getz. Not like a little Getz. Although it was Dad's car, and I bought it off him.
That was Ted's.
That was Dad's little sporty, zippy thing.
The lamest
car
you'll
along
ever
with
see.
The Land Cruiser, of course, to chuck the Mal in. Chuck the boards in.
Mal?
Yeah. A Malibu surfboard, mate. A 10-footer.
No one says Mal.
He's a championship surfer. Tidal Wave Ted. You might have heard him on the Surf Report on this very station
years ago. No one's heard of him. No one's heard of your dad. No one's heard of your dad.
Anyway, so I was driving this car. It had three steering modes. Because it's kind of new.
Okay.
It had three steering modes. So you could change the steering wheel to go from normal to comfort or sport.
Okay.
So you could change the actual pull of the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Maybe if you've heard of this, 133353, and if you can explain actually what it does, give us a call now because we've only got a few minutes. But
I get that sport would be a thing. It's like you want to have more control and you want to go crazy.
I think it pulled a bit in sport. Like it would be harder.
More traction.
Yeah, more traction.
And more control. But to have normal and comfort.
Normal and comfort.
You would assume you want to be comfortable all the time, wouldn't you?
Yeah. My car only has one steering mode. Bitch. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
You got that right.
Cheers.
That's my joke to bag your... Don't bag your own car. I bag your car. You don't bag your own car.
Naughty after nine up next.